go ahead and get the meeting started, and then hopefully Susan will be joining us at any moment. Let's start first with introductions. Start with Lynn. Go around the room, and then
Lynn Fisher.
Representing.
The district.
Scott Archer, staff.
Caroline Raymer, staff.
We have a group of staff in the back there, too.
My name is Francesca, staff. Tanya Williamson, staff. Candy Ho, staff.
Kevin Casey, staff.
Thank you. Thanks, all, for being here. I call for public comment, but seeing no general public in the audience, I would think there would not be any public comment this evening. So we will move right into Scott Archer. Some changes in
greetings. It's good to have the band back together.
Oh, it feels good to be together.
Thanks for participating and committing to this process. It's nice that we're starting back up again here. So a couple quick things before I jump right into the agenda item. A few of you over on this side heard me mention that Catherine Krieger, our planning and development manager, who would have been leading a lot of this discussion tonight and has been involved in putting a lot of this information together, is not able to be here. She had a personal emergency, unfortunately. And so as I had mentioned, you're probably stuck listening to me quite a bit tonight. And just as far as we work through the information, we've got an agenda here that we will hopefully keep us on target, but this is meant to be a working process, and you are the working group, so by all means, just at any point you have questions or comments or feedback, please just feel free to jump in. We've got a number of our staff here as well. Some points in the conversation we might have some of the different staff involved in some of their specialty areas and help answer questions or whatever may come up. So lastly, before jumping in, just noting that the time we have that we've identified 6:30 as a stopping point, we really would like to honor your time for volunteering and stick to that if possible. Of course, if the group chooses to carry that longer for conversation or whatever you might want to do, that's fine with staff. But we're just trying to be respectful of your time as volunteers. So we'll do our part to try to keep things moving along. So if we're moving too fast, just slow us down. Or if we're moving too slow and you think it's too repetitive, then speed me back up. Give me that signal. I'm always glad to go a little faster. So what we have in store for tonight, let's just quickly what our intents are, is just some the introductory stuff here. Going to talk briefly about the changes in Happy Valley that do affect this process, our overall capital improvement plan process, the steering committee work, and then the meat of this meeting will be reviewing the projects list. That will be the most in-depth piece of the agenda, and then just kind of updating the overall methodology, project schedule, and then our next steps as far as meeting schedules go, and when we're going to wrap up the overall process. So there's a gnat circling my head over here, so it looks like I'm doing this thing. So just briefly, I think most or all of you are familiar with our issue with Happy Valley, just more focusing on how this impacts our SDC update and our master plan, our CIP. As I think you know, Happy Valley has now filed a lawsuit against the district and the county. And that lawsuit is around the division of assets. So backing up. Happy Valley took action earlier in this calendar year to basically put us on notice that they were withdrawing from the district. That was back in the spring. They set a target date of December 31st of this year, and in fact, that's why we, of course, paused the SEC and capital plan was directly because of that, and we had to kind of reorganize and of course, our district advisory board and all that as well. By the way, just a side note on that, we're still working through, as we work through the process of finding outcomes with the Happy Valley situation, we're continuing to have the Board of County Commissioners acting as the NCPRD board are still going to continue to meet monthly as just a standalone NCPRD board. We're meeting inside the district boundaries over at the Public Safety Training Center on 82nd. And the board has essentially committed to continuing with that through the first few months of 2018 so that we get a little bit more direction on the Happy Valley status, and then at some point revisiting a reconfigured district advisory board. Of course, it'll be reconfigured based on Happy Valley not being in. So Happy Valley has filed a lawsuit. That is the we were in the process of negotiating an equitable division of assets, which is money and facilities and any other type of asset. And unfortunately, we were not able to come to an agreement. And the city then decided to file the lawsuit. And that basically forces the courts to make a decision. And that process has really just begun, and all of this is public information, and a lot of information has been out in the public, and I think we've shared some of that with you as the DAB and so forth. But the process is they filed the lawsuit, the county filed, the district and the county filed our what we call an answer to the lawsuit, or sort of our counter claim or our counter points, and. Then the process kind of going from there is that it will be assigned to a judge and sort of a process will begin. It's going to be probably a lengthy process, I think, is what we're looking at. And it's hard to say for sure, it has the potential, depending on what direction is taken with once a judge is assigned, pending outcomes and then pending appeals, if that were to be something that were to happen from either party, this could go potentially on for 2 or 3 years, is what I'm told by our counsel. So it has that potential. Now, it certainly could go shorter than that if something were to happen that moved it along more quickly or the lawsuits were withdrawn or something, other actions. So it has the potential, though, to go for quite a while. So the challenge for us is going to be sort of operating in a state of uncertainty with some to some regard and trying to figure out how to move through that. So it's a complex process.
So will
please.
Will that especially affect, that sort of uncertainty?
Well,
those are major.
Yeah, we are. So that kind of gets to the point B on this, which is the assumptions about what's in and out, and in terms of you've got that up on there. By the way, excuse me, you had a packet of the information with the agenda, the maps, and everything just inside the cover of your folder there. If you didn't catch that. We're going to move through this process assuming that essentially those are the properties that are specifically named in the lawsuit around which decisions are going to have to be made. The district is suggesting that if a property is either inside the city limits or directly adjacent to the city limits, and we believe that those properties are are serving the residents of Happy Valley primarily, that since we will not be eventually collecting the tax on the property tax to support the operation of those facilities, we believe that those should all go into the city ownership and transfer. But there is not agreement on that right now. But we are going to move through our capital planning, our SDC planning, with that assumption in mind. And as more information, you know, is available, or if decisions are made, we'll adjust accordingly. But that's what the best that we can do. And we don't want to. We've already stalled this process for several months. We thought that was long enough, and we need to move this forward. So we can always make adjustments if we need to. Did you have a question?
I'm just wondering, today and tomorrow and the next couple months, is NCPRD still servicing all of the properties within Happy Valley? And if so, how long will that continue?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
That's part of that uncertainty I was talking about. We are, for now, the city again has is officially withdrawing December 31st, but with it going into a lawsuit, now that puts some uncertainty around the date and what does withdrawal mean. Until the case is resolved, do we actually cease to operate in the boundaries of Happy Valley? As of right now, we're continuing to operate essentially as we were, except for the only minor exception to that is Southern Lights and actually Meadows are two small neighborhood parks that the city was actually responsible for in our contract for maintaining. They had not been maintaining for various reasons, and we just picked up those sites and just did it because we thought it was in the best interest of the public good to do that for several years. But with the withdrawal notice, we said, you should take care of these parks that you're supposed to be taking care of. With that exception, yes, we are.
So we're going to continue, and you think until the lawsuit is resolved or there's more information, we will continue?
Yeah.
Will we continue to collect revenue
from
Happy Valley for that period?
That's the other question. So the collection of taxes, so that essentially your tax rates get locked in by the assessor in March of every year for the mm-hmm. for the upcoming tax year, and once that's locked in, it's hard for the assessor to back those out. So if nothing changes by March, then it's likely that we would go down that path and just collect the taxes and continue to provide the service. But all of that is pending any kind of legal decisions or direction. Everything that I'm saying is subject to some, you know, other decision. So that's what I'm saying is, When Happy Valley first notified us of their intent to withdraw, it was very much a date certain on December 31st, and we were just going to move ahead. But now that there's a lawsuit, it puts everything into a little bit more of a state of flux. Yeah. It's a complex issue, and I don't have great answers because there just aren't answers yet.
So you said you retired. Is that the countersuit you're talking about?
It's not a counter lawsuit per se. It's just the way the process works is one party sues the other, then you have a certain amount of time to file a reply to that lawsuit saying, here's what we think. And our reply, which is a counterclaim, not a counter lawsuit per se, which puts. If you read those, or if you just saw some of the news information or what have you, but we're a long ways apart on what we both believe on our
Who else is what?
And our, you know, the whole thing is NCPRD is we were very much attempting to negotiate an equitable division of the assets, and you know we aren't trying to stop Happy Valley from exiting the district. They have every right to do that as a city. However, in doing so, we, the district, and our county commissioners have an obligation to protect the remaining 100-plus thousand residents of our district without Happy Valley and not be harmed financially because of their exit. So that's where we're at.
Does this Happy Valley situation have any impact on the strategic partnership with the school district?
No.
That's going to continue and be done, and Hoodview will, along with the school district.
Yeah. Correct.
So
yeah, that's moving.
Not interested in Hoodview.
No, that's moving ahead. It has been bumped out a little bit. We've had some additional negotiations, and it got moved out a little bit, but that's not impacted by it.
When do you expect that to be?
Our timeline got moved out into after the first of the year to finalize our negotiation. Realistically, I would say we'll have a finalized, updated agreement, and actually I'll bring back some reports to you as the both the steering committee and the DAB on that as we get closer to where we can talk a little bit more publicly about some things. But we're still negotiating some of the specifics around that. And probably the ownership transfer will take place in the spring is most likely what we're looking at by the time everything is.
Do you anticipate any of us to answer any of
You know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I could certainly ask that of our council. All of the minutes are public records, and any of that stuff is going to be discoverable, and that process is already starting. So I would have a hard time thinking so, but I suppose anything could happen. Yeah, I would hope not. I don't want you all to get dragged into having to do that. But yeah, everything is already in minutes and on public records. And so I would hope not. But I'll ask. Yeah. Okay. So just again, for this process to kind of bring it back to that, we're doing this planning, assuming that any of those areas that are highlighted there are named in the lawsuit, and we are going to do our capital planning around the idea that those would be not in the district any longer once this is resolved. So we're on number four, which is the capital improvement plan process. This is just sort of the whole where we're at. Isn't there a this is where we're at now kind of a thing? Yeah. Okay. We've done a lot of work already. You have done a lot of work as the DAB, and so we're very much, that wasn't wasted work. We just paused, and then now we're picking back up. And so we've essentially done everything up to the We Are Here arrow, and we're now we've done a number of sort of information collecting. We went through our preliminary project lists, our CIP list. We've refined that and edited that based on feedback from the group that we've already received and other input. And now we're kind of at the point of having what we hope is our getting closer to a final draft of our capital improvements plan list, which is the foundation of your SDC rate. You have to have your capital list, and the consultants will base the SDC rate on that information. And so we're at the point now where we're going to review in just a little bit the updated draft of the CIP. There's an opportunity for any further input on new items or things that we've missed or forgotten about, and we would want to hear that from you, the group. We're going to notify the public every time we do these meetings so that people know that there's an opportunity for public input in this process. Nobody came tonight, but and then as we go through, board meetings and different things like that, there will be ongoing opportunities for public input. So,
how do you notify the public?
We do a number of different ways. Do you want to summarize that?
We have a distribution list, so you can call or you can email and get on the distribution list, and we have instructions on the website of how to do that. We notice it through that way. It goes up on the website, although I'm not sure how much traffic we have on the website.
Not much.
Yeah. I don't think we typically do any Facebook things. Have we been doing it for board meetings, though? No. Things for, like, the strategic partnership, we will put stuff like that on Facebook, but we don't typically.
I guess I would also suggest community organizations, all the various neighborhood groups in Milwaukee would be a good venue to notify the CPO.
The Chamber of Commerce is probably a good one to be on the list, too, because you can put that in their newsletter.
CPOs, both Jennings Lodge, Oak Grove, and the Plaquemines CPOs, because they have each of those CPOs has a distribution list that automatically gets all the kind of information, so more people aware of it.
Okay.
And we'll look into those. And part of that, too, is, in fact, I think that's a good segue into our next slide, which is the steering committee work. Ahead, I think. There we go. So part of the process here is that we want to engage the community as much as we can. So that's great feedback, and we'll look to reach out to those types of groups or those contacts. But also, as the steering committee, you all are community members, and some of you are, you know, we have that kind of distribution across the district of representation from the DAB, which is carried into the steering committee. So if you have any contacts or any ability to reach out to your local CPOs or neighborhood groups or any community organization as far as that goes, to let them know that this is happening. So, you know, certainly would encourage you to do that and ask you to do that. We just talked about the neighborhood associations, CPOs. We're going to try to work through those groups as much as we can. Other partner organizations, we're going to be doing a presentation specifically to the City Council of Milwaukee. And then, of course, this will all lead back to our Board of Directors. And the end result of the steering committee, and we'll get a little bit more into the scheduling towards the end, because we're going to actually talk about some future meeting dates, and we're going to ask which of those would work. The end goal is to have a recommendation, a product that is recommended to our board for adoption that we'll present, and of course we'll invite all of you to come to that presentation. One quick thing that I didn't mention, and I meant to, is that we're meeting tonight just as the staff and the steering committee without our consultants. We did that intentionally. We want to utilize, you know, we have a specific amount of meetings that we can utilize them for within our contract. It's, again, it's FCS is the name of the consultants. They came to some of the meetings previously. We wanted to have this meeting tonight with you, not with the consultants, so as to save their time and the money that we spend on them for things that are valuable. And tonight would be a refresher, kind of a bring you up to speed, to present the draft of the list. And then we'll get them back at the meetings again. By the next meeting, they'll be back here. And we'll be actually then delving more into the actual SDC methodology and really starting to get into some of that detail. But for tonight, it was intentionally not, we didn't want the consultants to be here, so that we could just have a kind of a refresher, catch up, present what we've got as a draft list, and talk about the process with you, and then bring that back in. All right, so we are jumping into, as I said, any questions about any of that stuff before we jump into the project list?
And we might want to explain like, where we go, how we went from this to that.
Yeah, you can help me fill in the gaps that I leave out. So we have the draft capital improvement plan projects list on a sheet here. We'll walk through what's on here, and how this was developed was from in a few different ways, either from our existing SDC methodology, which was adopted in 2007 methodology and capital plan. We did an updated Parks and Recreation District master plan, where we kind of refer to that as our 2015 update. Though that hasn't been adopted yet, we actually are in the process of kind of restarting that to finish that, because I know some of you were on the DAB when we did that that master plan. So we pulled projects from that. We pared down items that were either completed or were decided by the committee or the DAB to drop off of the list. And we also added a few items that were staff recommendations. And then again, I'm going to review this, and we can just walk through this. But part of the process tonight is to ask you at the end of this, what does it seem like we're missing, or what should not be on this list that is? And then what else did I forget, Carolyn?
I was just going to like connect some dots for you guys. So if you go to the project list section of your binder, you'll see the list that you guys are familiar with. Remember this behemoth? How much fun this was? So this, we put this list back in there. So this is a new one. This is the very last one that's in your list. And it actually is getting you from the list that you guys saw last to this sheet of paper. And so what you'll see is you'll see these projects, and all these projects should be on this new list. But you'll see that we've grayed out the ones that were either completed, you guys had agreed to remove them, or they're located in the city of Happy Valley. So you'll see that those ones got grayed out, and that means they were removed, and then we got into this.
So we're looking at the one that's dated 11/13?
Yes, yes. If you wanted, yeah, I just put it in there, so if you guys wanted to see how did we get from there to there.
If you want to cross-reference.
But,
gotcha. But
this is much more handleable.
Yes, it's all on here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you guys have this in your binders if you ever want to go back in.
Yeah, if you want to look that in. And actually, that is representative of, as I was saying, that a lot of work has already been done by the committee, which has been valuable. And we've used that work, and that has been what's resulted in this more refined and pared down list. So. Okay, thanks. So if you don't mind, what I'd like to do is just walk you through this list. We'll just touch briefly on the projects. Stop me at any point if you have questions. And then also we've got the maps to cross-reference. There's we've got hard copies, and then also we've got the maps up on, the same maps are up on the board if you prefer to look at it on the screen for whatever reason. And if you're not sure where something is located as we're talking about it, we don't have the screen doesn't allow a pointer because it's a TV screen, and so if you point a laser pointer at it, it disappears. So we can't go like that and show you. So we'll just do our best to, again, this is just a working kind of a meeting here. So let me know if you're not sure. The way this is organized on your list here is that you've got the column, the second column from the left, which says planning areas. You've got essentially four different box, sort of four different categories from 0 through 4. 0, 1, 2, 3. There are four of them. 0, and then there's a hard line, and then it goes into the 1. So if you're following down on that second column then from the left, those are going to be within planning areas, which is essentially the zone. So you're familiar with our zones, 1, 2, and 3. 0 means that it's not a particular zone project. It's either some type of overall district plan of some type or a district-wide project that doesn't have to do with a zone or a planning area. You'll notice on your list and also on your maps that we are actually calling those planning areas and not zones. That's not anything, that's not a permanent decision, but we are doing that intentionally for this reason. We have discussed previously with this process the idea that the zones are specific to the system development charges fee, and they were set, and a lot of our zone work was done around Happy Valley's coming into the district. And if they are not going to be part of the district, the question has been brought up, and we'll be working through this and vetting this discussion further with the consultant. Do we actually need separate zones for the collection of the SDCs? That's a question that we'll need a recommendation on from this group at some point. So at a minimum, though, it's very, I think it's just very handy to look at something and say, Area 1, Area 2, Area 3, because you're familiar with those as our current zones. But if we change from the zone methodology and just have a flat district-wide SDC rate, we would still probably want to refer to some of our planning areas so that you're able to sort of focus down on the projects and those. So for right now, this is all just for discussion purposes and is all subject to a final recommendation from the steering committee. So the planning area right now is the same as the current zones, but we're just kind of using that term so that we can leave open the idea of, do we actually need a separate zone rate for our SDCs?
The one thing about that is and I think it's actually in here, I don't know whether it's in the ordinance or, where it's collected, it's where it stays.
Right.
Whatever that, that idea.
Yep.
That would have to be changed also.
Right. So that's all, exactly. That's all something that we'll want to explore. So, hence, this is as we get further into the actual development of the SDC methodology and the fee with the consultant, that's where we'll really dive into that theory, and do we keep that as it is, or do we change it, or some hybrid of that.
My gut is we probably, if we can afford it, have the consultants do it both ways.
That's something that we can certainly consider having.
I would like to see what a reasonable overall district SDC rate would be, but also what a zonal planning area SDC rate might be and how different that might be. And only because I know my population that I deal with most often is going to ask that question. And I suspect Milwaukee is too. So I think, unless it's, obviously it's not going to all go down.
Yeah,
somebody's going
to
go up.
We need to know the end. We need to know the various options, various scenarios.
It's just again, this is just for our discussion purposes.
Yeah.
The way that we're referring to them is the planning areas, not so as not to imply or assume that we've made a decision about zone rates, even though that is our current ordinance. But does that stay the same or does it change? Those are decisions that will be made and recommendations will be made. So, yeah, exactly. So I'm just going to walk through the list. And again, if you have questions about anything in particular, let me know. Or if you want to just wait till the end and ask all the questions, either way, just jump in. And also, I'm going to, at this point, invite any of our staff as we're walking through this list. If you have additional comments that you think I'm missing on it, any of the projects, or please jump in. Okay. So starting just at the top there, the ADA transition plan. So these are all the zeros, which means they're not in a planning area. Yes.
I know often in meetings like this where folks are around the table, and of course I'm the only one who's back, is to the people sitting in the audience, but it's often hard for people in the audience to hear. I don't know if that's the case with our staff, but it seems to me that there's room at the table, and I would be happy to have them join us.
That would
here.
Be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Whether you guys intend it or not, you're getting dragged.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, that's a good idea.
I just think it's more conducive.
I think that's great.
I'm not sure. I guess I don't understand why various plans are part of a capital improvement program.
Why the various plans are? You mean like the first set of things that we're talking about here?
All of them, but the ones that say plan.
Yeah. Well, that's...
it doesn't feel like a capital improvement project, plan project.
Yeah. It's, so I understand your question. This is very typical. I've been with a number of park and recreation agencies and public agencies, and it is common practice and normal to include those in your capital plan list. The plans for the plan, that sounds extremely governmental, and I'm sorry about that. But the reason is that each of these plans in some way directly ties to either a current or a future facility of some type. So it's the same as doing if you were going to master plan a neighborhood park that's not developed yet, and you design it and you do the public input and then you bid it and get it ready to build. The planning process is part of the project. It's part of the money you spend, and it's part of the capitalization of the project. So these are, in essence, kind of a number of these are more broad plans.
I think they're more of a philosophical, this is generally what we as a park district want to provide.
The plan itself isn't, though. The plan is very detailed and very prescriptive. Our master plans for Bowman Gray and Balfour and
those are for specific parks.
But
these are not for this is for this. What we want to do sometime in the future.
Yeah, and again,
high stuff.
Yeah.
The overall general planning. It's in that first area.
I mean, as a responsibility of a worthwhile park district, you're going to provide park services. To me, that's not a capital improvement. That's a responsibility of the district to provide those.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from on that. I guess I would just, and we probably need to move forward here, but the each of these plans or planning processes in some way leads to either decisions or designs of facilities that we hope to build. So that's why they're part of a master plan, or that's why they're part of a capital plan. So, maybe we can not focus on that part of the discussion right now, and that's certainly something that we can. That's a philosophical discussion we probably need to take up at a different time. So let me just start walking through this, and again, questions from the committee, please jump in, and additions from any staff, please also add on.
I just want to be cognizant of the time, too.
Yep.
We've used about half of our time for this meeting.
Yep. So the first is the ADA transition plan, and that is to create a plan to provide additional accessible amenities. This is a requirement. This is a legal requirement that we have to take on. So that has to do with creating better ADA access at all of our facilities. The district master plan, these are also, each of the projects is numbered, so I'll say number two, number three, et cetera. So number two is the district master plan, and that's, as I said, we've reached the point of having a draft master plan. This is the overall district comprehensive plan, and we are going to finalize that plan, and that's why it's on here. Natural resources master plan, we would like to, as part of that, it could be incorporated in the master plan or it could be a separate process that would be decided upon later, but that's to create a comprehensive plan around specifically the priorities for natural resources and natural resources development. Recreation center planning studies, and by the way, these are all items that have been on some lists previously that are carried into this updated list. Recreation center planning, that would be the concept of basically planning for a new recreation center in each of the three zones or planning areas, and we're going to get a little bit more into that. Let me just pause and give you a little bit more information on the maps as we move through this, and maybe we want to toggle to some of these for just a moment, but you'll see that you've got, this is the first one is just the entire district with all of the projects identified in this list. Everything is on this map. The second map is the specifically neighborhood parks, and we've got, what we're doing is just sort of showing large bubbles that will encompass an area. Some of those are intended to be around a specific site. Some of them are intended to be a general area and not necessarily site specific. And then the next one is going to be around the more of the community sized parks and recreation center planning areas. We're going to talk about that more. And then the last one is our natural areas. We can probably just go back to the main general map, but as you're looking at these, and we'll probably specifically go to some of those maps during this discussion and call out the projects in that manner. That's just those are just sort of layers to this main map of showing you how we've kind of identified areas or what have you. So. I'm on number 5, and that is sports fields analysis and master plan. And that is a study for additional sports fields needs and related amenities and to have a comprehensive plan specifically around sports fields. Trails master plan, that is to create a comprehensive plan for trails specifically it would guide acquisition of land and development of trails and so forth throughout the district. Community park planning area 3.
I think this should actually be in section 3.
Yeah, that one should be in
yeah, I was gonna ask why
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. So we're gonna, by the next time you see that, that's gonna be in section 3. And actually we'll just hold on that one and we can bounce back to that one when it's in that area. Number 8, administrative offices. That's a staff proposed addition since any of the other CIP lists were developed, but we have, and I think we've talked about this with the DAB at some point in time, and that is we have the desire to build administrative offices somewhere within the district boundaries at some point. As you know, our administrative offices are in Oregon City with the county campus, and which is not within our NCPRD borders, and we aspire to have a district office within the district. Number 9 is additional group picnic areas. So this is a general idea of developing more picnic areas and related amenities. This was the third most desired project from our survey for that we did with our residents for the updated master plan. So we're specifically addressing some of those things that are high priorities from any surveys that we did. Additional sports fields. This is on here specifically because we'll have at least 4 sport fields to replace from the loss of the fields at Hoodview. And we also had a need previously identified for additional fields. So we're generally identifying that we need 6 to 8 additional sports fields somewhere in the district.
And that's why it's not under number 5.
Yeah.
Some of these will tie to other planning processes, but we're, like in the case of this one, we're specifically calling it out because we've said we need 6 to 8 sports fields developed somewhere in the district, and that will be part of our sports fields master plan.
So the plan won't actually allow us to build the sports fields. It will allow us to plan and actually assess where in the district a sports field is most needed.
Is construction
of additional sports fields, yes.
But the sports field analysis and plan, that's what I was talking about at the beginning,
yes.
About the plan becomes part of that. So it feels like it's still together.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, some of these we're going to take your input and we're going to answer as follow-up questions or information at your next meeting because there's so much information and we'll bring it back together so those kinds of questions, if we don't have an immediate answer, just know that we're going to make notes of all those and bring back some information to inform you about that. The last item on this first grouping is the maintenance shop. This would be specifically to to build a permanent maintenance facility for Kevin and our maintenance team. As you might know, or you may not know, we currently lease a maintenance facility off of 224 Milwaukee Expressway. It's an excellent facility, but we would prefer to not be making rent payments. We'd prefer to own our own facility. So that is on our proposed capital plan to do that at some point. And that potentially could tie into some future property that we own, and that would be the best way for us to do it, is to tie that to another property. So moving to our next kind of grouping area, which is planning area one, which is the city of Milwaukee and the UGMA of Milwaukee. So I'm on project number 12, but we're into the planning area number one grouping there. So I talked a little bit about recreation centers, and what we are, and again, this is based on previous input and also on some current activity. We have feedback, community input, and feedback that essentially leads us to having the desire to plan for a future recreation center, one within each of our three zones or planning areas. One of those we're going to talk about when we get into planning area two is specific to a site, and that is the Concord building that we all know we're in the process of acquiring from the school district. So that's what that one will become. The others are based more on just general areas, and not, at this time anyway, not site specific, although going back to my comments earlier, and I can only say so much right now, but we're talking to the school district about potential other facilities to substitute in place of the admin building that we had originally agreed to, and we're pulling that out, and we're currently looking at other potential school sites that we could use for these types of purposes. So, and I'll hopefully be able to give you some more specific updates on that at a future date. So in this zone one, we've got a recreation center planning area, and that would include both, when we're talking about recreation centers, we're talking about both a indoor programming space as well as outdoor programming space, kind of an all-in-one type of a site. Number 13, the Milwaukee Center, we're including that because we'll have continued updates and improvements at an existing facility that we need to keep either adding to or modernizing over time.
Is that in the Milwaukee or in the city?
Milwaukee Center, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee. So that would suffice for a recreation center in zone one or planning area one.
It is a recreation center, but it's not. It doesn't have the space, or it's already currently programmed to the level that it can't be the all-encompassing type of center that we want it to be. It's while we are expanding our community programming there and making it not just a quote senior center unquote, it's still primarily focused on older adult programming. But we are indeed doing more community programming there. However, we still see the need based on just our surveys and our professional input that we would need something beyond just that. It doesn't have the capacity to be a full service center. But it is, in fact, a community center or a recreation center of sorts. Number 14 is the Johnson Creek property. That is going to be on the very top of the map, kind of the top right of planning area one. That is also sometimes referred to as our Luther Road property. And we've got that on here as potential site access acquisition. We are looking at an adjacent property to purchase, which would give us access. We own this property now, but we have very limited access, and we need to create some better access, I think. That's something that's been discussed before. I'm going to try to move a little bit faster than I am, so again, if you want me to stop, let me know, but I'll just kind of clip through these a little more quickly. Number 15 is Milwaukee Bay Park. This is the formerly known as Milwaukee Riverfront Park, and this is to complete the design and engineering and just essentially fully build out the remainder of the park. We've built the first two phases of that park with the city, and we would propose to build that out. North Clackamas Park, this would call for some potential expansion or addition to the park development. We have a Northside Master Plan that needs to be developed at some point, so it would bring those types of amenities to the table. Trails Planning Area 1, when we have a few of these where we're just saying trails, and just know that they're not very specifically called out. We are just talking about trails kind of generally in certain areas. We know that we need, trails are one of the highest ranked items of want or need from residents, and we know that we need more trails, and so we're just sort of generally calling out trails in the whole district or in specific planning areas. New natural resources land, again, that's kind of a general thing, but it's and we have that natural resources map, so just kind of keep in mind that as you, some of this can be take-home work for you to cross-reference that for time right now in this meeting. Know that these are the natural areas, either existing or planned, are called out on those maps, and you can look at those a little bit more in depth within the various planning areas. Three Creeks Natural Area, which is right behind your backs over here on this side of the room. This would be for, we currently manage this property in a partnership with West. West owns the property, and we are in need of creating an updated master plan to reflect what we want to do with that property. We also have part of our North Clackamas Greenway running through there. Tanya, would you add anything to those comments about what else we want to do there?
Okay.
Balfour property, existing neighborhood park within Milwaukee. There were, a few years ago, we did four master plans for four Milwaukee neighborhood parks, and this is one of those four, so you'll hear me just kind of mention that. So actually, these next two, so Balfour and Bowman Bray, both have completed parks master plans, and this is simply acknowledging that we would like to develop the parks per our completed master plans. Then we get into the new areas, and when you, let's go to that slide that has the, this one here, the neighborhood park. So again, you've got a map that looks like the one that's up on the board right now. So we're going to be talking based on surveys and in our master planning efforts. We have identified, you know, we just need generally new neighborhood parks within certain general areas of the district, and those are going to be identified with the bluish color, and the other color is existing parks. So when we talk about just sort of general new neighborhood parks, those were based on needs that have been identified, and we are identifying three of those within Area 1. And again, very, very general, no site-specific, but just we need a new neighborhood park based on our kind of our defined metrics or needs.
I'm just curious, do you have, are there 4-acre tracts available?
Not, you know, it, some areas are going to be that, and some areas there probably aren't going to be. So it's aspirational, and if we certainly can, you know, the plan is going to say, well, you know, we would love to have a 4-acre park, but it may be smaller than that, or it may just be based on what is available, or converting some other types of existing property into that. So it's, some of these are aspirational, and you have to adjust your realities when you actually get into trying to purchase the property and that kind of thing. The Kronberg Park, I'm on number 25. Kronberg Park Natural Area, that's currently the city of Milwaukee is, there's an existing master plan that was completed for that. That was one of the four master plans. The pathway that goes from, that connects basically 99E to downtown Milwaukee is in the process of being done. City of Milwaukee received a grant from ODOT, a transportation grant, and are completing, which is the big ticket item in the park, the connection, then this would call for us to complete the rest of the park, essentially. And a lot of that is a natural area type of park. Scott Park, that's the little downtown park in Milwaukee. This is acknowledging that the city is doing is going to build a new library, and this is right next to that, and we'll need to reassess what that park is and how it's used. And so this would call for us to essentially update our master plan and determine what we do with Scott Park as part of that library complex there. And the last of the section, or the planning area one, is Stanley Park, another existing neighborhood park, and this would just call for planning and developing that site. Any questions on those before we move into planning area two? I'm just going to try to keep moving quickly here. So we're on number 28, on the first of the planning area two. Again, planning area two is our zone two, which is essentially almost entirely or all unincorporated Oak Grove, Jennings Lodge, the Oakfield Bridge, and some of the area just west of 205. So again, as I talked about before, we're calling for a recreation center in each of the planning areas. So that first one is that recreation center. That one is identified as specifically around Concord. The next one is Antoni Schreiber Park. That's an existing district community park, and this would call for new amenities and some improvements and some enhancements of that existing site. Number 30 is trails in planning area two, and again, just generally, we kind of talk about the need for adding to our trail system. We do, within some of these descriptions, call out, for example, on this one, we'll say, might include the Phillips Creek Trail, or some additional improvements to the Trolley Trail or others. You'll note that, but I won't delve that far into those unless you have questions about that specifically tonight. The next is the railroad trestle connection to the Trolley Trail. This would be a new bicycle and pedestrian walkway. Kevin or Tanya, do you want to mention anything about that project? I suppose some of you know about that, but maybe not everybody.
It looks like they do.
Is that part of the general trails plan?
Yeah. There's a trail that would connect to Lake Oswego right near Riverdale Park.
And it's actually shown on the map as well.
Yeah. So what we would do
it's the bridge across the river, right?
That connection across the river to our trail. So we'll get that kind of route.
Yeah.
And the bridge of pass is called the Willamette Greenway Trail.
That's right by the...
But isn't that the same bridge as the number 30 or 31?
Yeah, we do kind of mention it within... I think it gets... Yeah, that's some cleanup that we'll need to do. That's a good catch. So you make a note of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that...
I think we specifically called it out as an individual project because it's such a big deal, but it also is kind of generally listed in that process. Yeah.
I mean, 30 is way more general. It's probably not like specific names.
But 31 specific.
32 is new natural resources land. This is just general within that. And we've got those identified in the bubbles on a different map. 33 is the Boardman Complex. This is a specific site down in the Jennings, more in the Jennings Road, or Jennings Avenue, the Jennings Lodge part of that zone. And this would be in partnership with the Oak Lodge Water Services District. It's a natural area, wetlands kind of development that we are planning to kind of co-develop and do as a partnership agreement. Tanya's been working on this for several years, I think, with the Water Services District, and we are hopeful to be moving forward next year, I believe, on that one. Is that still a fair thing to say? Yeah. A lot of it is funding dependent and grant dependent and those kind of things. 34 is the Hull Street and Swanson Place properties. Another natural area development that we're proposing, and anything else to add on that one?
Yeah, in the long, long, long term, that would be hopefully connected to the Boardman complex, but the Boardman complex project right now is like a phase one that's implementing right now.
Okay. And also, if you notice that a few of these have the X right just to the left of the project, as I mentioned, we, the staff, through our research and our collective discussions, have made a few recommendations to add to the project list, and those are noted with that X, and that's the next one, Riverville. I forgot to note that when we were talking through some of the other ones above, but if you see that X, that just means it was a staff-proposed project. So Riverville Park, that's an existing park, and we're proposing to do some additional site build-out and some additional development at that park. 36 is Bunnell Park, existing neighborhood park that we would essentially plan and develop. It's an existing property, I should say, that we would plan and develop the park. Is that an accurate description of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, again, the general new neighborhood parks, as identified through our research and our surveys and so forth, we have proposed 6 new neighborhood parks within this planning area. Those are all, again, identified with the new neighborhood park future site bubbles on that particular map that shows the neighborhood site. So six additional new neighborhood parks to be acquired and developed in planning area 2. I think we are moving along pretty well now. So we're on now planning area 3, which is the east of 205, what remains after Happy Valley. So one thing that's important to note here, while this area has, we're anticipating, has shrunk considerably within the district, there still is significant areas within on the east side that will remain within NCPRD, and we want to do a good job of still providing services in those areas and parks and programming and all that. And that sort of the two main areas, as I would describe it, would be basically we're taking out Happy Valley, but we've got sort of it's essentially the two Highway 212 corridor and down all the way down to the river, all the way until you hit 205, and then we've got kind of this top corner where Altamont Park is at right now. That's where the assisted care facility that was planned just got voted down to be annexed into Happy Valley. But this corner, there's this kind of interesting island up here, east of 205 and west of the city limits of Happy Valley. There are a lot of residents tucked into that little pocket of the district there. So we're still acknowledging that is an area that we want to serve. And,
well, I think there's a lot of people. I know, like where I am, I can't be annexed in because I don't have a HOA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
south of Happy Valley. And
Yeah, south of Happy Valley, but I'm north of 212.
North of 212. Yeah, well, I didn't mean that. That's a good point. Yeah, I didn't mean that exclusively around 212, but just kind of, or, yeah, to use that as kind of a general guide. But, yeah, certainly north of the highway and south of the current city limits. That's all subject to over time, and that's part of our discussions with our legal process as well, is if property becomes part of the city that is not right now, of course, then that would no longer be in our district. If there are existing assets or future assets that are built, how do those get transferred to the city and that kind of thing? So we're going to be working through that process as well. But annexation is voluntary. It has to be, you know, it's subject to being, the property owner wanting to be annexed. So whether you're an individual, well, residential owner or a large commercial tract or something in between, it's all voluntary. One of the things, though, of course, with it is you can become sort of island annexed if you become surrounded. There is some statute that forces you into a city limits eventually, and some of those might happen in these little pockets. But those are just some things that we're going to have to see how it goes over time. But we We want to acknowledge our east side of our district is not going away, and we very much have this, those two pieces, the kind of the southern part of the east side, and then this what would be the northwest corner of the east side, east of 205, that may or may not ever become part of Happy Valley, and we want to serve that. And so that's I give you that information just to say that even though we're anticipating the parks in or very much adjacent to Happy Valley going away, and we're not planning around those with this plan, we still have several amenities within Zone 3. So, again, just walking through those quickly, we're on the back page, on number 43, another recreation center as part of that. So the three zones, one recreation center for each zone. Again, just the kind of the generic trails in that planning area. 45, just the generic new natural resources, land amenities. 46 is specific to Altamont Park. That's our existing neighborhood park up in the northwest corner of Zone 3 or Planning Area 3. We have an existing almost 5-acre park there, and it's developed, but it is not fully developed. If you've never been up there, by the way, it's a really beautiful site. You get some great views, and it's just a really unique area. Another possibility there, by having this on our capital list, is that I'll kind of share this. This is sort of a little bit of inside information, but it's somewhat public as well. The fact that the parcel is directly adjacent to it, which is owned by the school district, the development that was proposed being voted down to be annexed into the city, I think makes their development challenging at this point. It would not be with the city development. I don't know what that property owner, that developer, is going to do at this point. And I think their development was an option based on that they could annex to the city. I think they had something along those lines with the school district, or it's pending something like that. So in other words, that deal might fall through completely, and we could have an additional roughly another 5 or so acres adjacent to Altamont Park that could be available for us to discuss purchasing or something. That's just speculation. So, but I just want to acknowledge that that's a possibility. And my sense is that given the temperature of that neighborhood pushing back pretty hard on annexation to the city, I think we'll be serving this Altamont neighborhood for a long time to come. And it would be nice to have one, you know, really marquee park within that zone, because it's geographically difficult to get to other areas because you're kind of sitting up on the hill there, and you've got 205 in the way on one side and the hills in the way on the other side. And so just something to think about as we look to the future. And then again, the rest of these are future or additional new neighborhood parks. We've got 4 more of those proposed, and again, those are identified. And that number 3 could, in fact, potentially be the addition to Altamont, or it could be another property altogether. But so that is the draft that we've pared down to as of now. That is open for discussion. Let's see, we've got a little over 15 minutes left. The last couple of items on the agenda are quick. They won't even take, I don't think, as long as we've got identified here. So the main question now is, and this doesn't have to be answered tonight, although feedback is helpful, because we're gonna have our consultants immediately start working on sort of kind of pre-processing our methodology based on the existing list, knowing that that could change. The question to you is, what's missing? What would we change on this list? What, you know, any other discussion around that? And again, if you've got answers to that tonight, that's great. If you need to process this and think about it, and then either between now and the next meeting or at the next meeting, bring back other ideas, that's all fine too.
I like the fact that we're being a little bit more aggressive in the zone. if we're doing our job delivering service in that area, so I think it's good that we're doing. I mean, I recognize that to your point, 4 acre parks may not happen, but since I've been doing this, it seems like, you know, we've involved with this, it seems like things will pop up out of the blue once in a while, and it's just like,
opportunity.
If we don't have it in here, it isn't going to happen at all.
Right.
So, whether it's 6 acres or 36 acres, you get something crazy pops up, and who knows? I like that. From my perspective, I don't think anything's really missing. I like it. I think actually not having Happy Valley, it kind of simplifies it too, and it kind of opens up the doors for a lot more things for us to do, actually. So, without a lot of squabbling and back and forth and that kind of stuff, and I just think we can really focus on delivering park service. And to me, that's exciting. And that's a good opportunity for the district. So, 100, over 100,000 or 20,000.
Yeah, we'd be still at 102 or 7,000. Yeah,
so
yep. Yeah, it's a lot. We're still the second biggest park district in the state of Oregon. Yeah. Excellent. Is it okay if I stand up and applaud this? would that be unprofessional?
As you, I think, know, there is this group of people in the Oak Lodge area that are starting to meet and plan. I want to be really involved in this. We know that also. How much of this do we share with them?
As much as you'd like. This is public information.
Yeah.
Right. As much as you'd like.
Anything
that happens,
just
in fact, we want... I should answer that question differently. We would love for you to share this with your neighborhood.
We have our first meeting next week, and one of the things that we understand that nothing is going to happen, particularly with the Concord property at this point, but this group is going to be preparing stuff so that when the insecurity starts soliciting input from the public, they're going to get a lot of input from this group. They've had a lot of consideration and thought go into it, and be ready to say what the planning area 2 folks at least want to see on the Concord property. Which may be different than what we have here.
Yeah.
In fact, I know it is.
Yeah. And we're going to just add to that, those are all good points. Once we actually own the property, we are going to do a public involvement process to help us develop the vision and what will ultimately be, what that site will look like. Just so everybody knows that.
How do you envision the public being involved in discussions like that? I mean, we've said all along lots of public opportunity, mm-hmm. open houses, charrettes, I mean, any
online, any method that we can tap into. And hey, our communications expert is just mm-hmm. sitting right here, Melina. Would you like to also add to that?
Yeah, so it will be a pretty extensive process that includes public meetings as well as surveys and different ways for people to actually engage with us, whether online or whether in person. We will also be bringing on a consultant to help out with this process based on our current resources and wanting to ensure it is a robust process. So it will be pretty extensive and over specified period of time.
Yeah, because I know there's a high expectation from the folks in that.
We have heard a lot from those folks about those expectations. They're excitedly knocking down our doors and ready to go, and our answer right now is we don't yet own the property, so hang tight and we'll be back with you as soon as we do.
Well, I think the fact
the group knows that.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that they're working hard at being proactive and developing as many citizen type groups, or people that represent citizen groups in the area.
Yep.
Is beneficial.
Yeah, the citizens in that area have been extremely informed, very engaged, and yeah, credit to them. So they're ready to go, but we're not quite there yet because we don't own the building and the site yet. Yeah.
But they also, you know, including in their thought process is the library part.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The only other thought that I have is I understand this plan kind of bucket that we have is not there. I mean, I understand you know some of these things like master plan or trail plan, recreation plan. I mean, it would be nice if it was like a single master plan, and then these were like executions of
the plan.
Like, I mean, and the way I view it, like, from my perspective, is like in our business, we have a business plan, but then we have action plans, specific strategies, and business plan. Right? So to me, these are just very specific action plans, that feed into whether it's an appendix or something, feeds into the sort of the master plan. I mean, I think it would be helpful if we could. I don't know if that's the way it works, for you guys, but to me, it would almost feel like we had sort of the singular master plan or business plan or whatever we might call it, and then we had this more of an action plan. This is really how we're going to get it done, kind of a piece of
it. So maybe you need it instead of calling them out separate, like the trails plan and the community plan and all that. It just be called the master plan, is that what you're
saying? Yeah, I would envision like a master plan, and then we have a, as part of the master plan, we have an execution for trails, an execution for sports fields, an execution for whatever. I mean, but they would be part of the master plan.
We actually had that discussion.
Yeah.
Catherine is the mentor and knows all of this stuff.
Well,
we kind of looked at it, and the biggest piece is that the district master plan is one of these on here, but it's the biggest one. And so we could put everything on the shelf for another year or so that we can make sure that we get all of that. But for us to get that done with all these other pieces, it's going to be a while.
Yeah.
And so knowing that we needed like a CIP, and so that's when we start talking about, well, okay, these are important things because these line up or something. These are priorities that are super important to me. So some things, unfortunately, but the big master plan is actually still kind of in process. It's slow and not moving a lot, but these individual pieces are getting picked up based on priorities or needs. And that's kind of what I got out of that discussion.
So the idea here was, and this is, just keep in mind, this is discussional at this point, but I think you raised an excellent point, and we've thought about that, as Candy said, and we've talked about it. Each of these things that are specifically called out are important things that we want to make sure are acknowledged. So the other way to look at it that I've seen this done, and I've done this in other communities with master plans, each of these becomes an appendix to the master plan. So we might finish the actual district master plan first because it's been sitting on the shelf for almost 2 years, and we want to take that across the finish line before that work becomes outdated. And then as we, for example, the natural resources master plan, for whatever reason that wasn't done as part of the overall master plan, we want, if we did that one separately, the way I would foresee it is adopting that into the master plan, saying, right, it might be done after the fact, but it becomes part of that. So, in essence, it's the same way of saying what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a timing issue.
Yeah, and I just think that.
That makes perfect
sense. That's really why it's here, right? You don't want to lose sight of it. It's part of the vision.
But it does seem a little obtrusive or obnoxious or whatever to call out everything. But there's just some timing reasons, and we just want to make sure that these were acknowledged. And we might come up with a different way to package this or to have a little narrative description with this whole thing is master plan with these sub plans, but they're going to be done at a later date or something like that.
Well, David said we have this master plan and then you have all these pieces. It feels like these pieces could be altered, changed, affected by the overall master plan.
Yeah.
And
or not, but it's like the resources, the master plan would say what sort of resources or the surveys from the master plan states that citizens want X, Y, Z, and whichever is highest, we get a little bit more resources. And if, say, sport fields are really important,
then you might want to, your plan, your sports fields plan might say, oh, we need to allocate more resources to that. So that business plan would then say, hey, that sports field plan needs to, or the whole business needs to modify that action plan based on what that master plan recommendations.
So they could just prioritize these different things to be prioritized based on.
Yeah, we could say timing-wise we want to do them in this order or what have you. Yeah, absolutely.
Will also make dollars be attached to each one of these?
Mm-hmm. They will. So right now we don't have
something. That's how we get to the
FTC. Yeah. That bothers me a little bit.
Well, they don't have
to do a master plan. Right. The master plan is the dollars. And then how you allocate the dollars out of the master plan to the various other plans is dependent upon what's in the master plan and what the community
with the priorities
says they want.
I think the challenge that I've had sometimes with this is that it feels like sometimes these plans compete with each other for resourcing, and I don't know where, I don't understand these plans, frankly. I mean, they're complicated and there's so much stuff. You know, I would just be concerned that, you know, they would be competing against each other, and they shouldn't, right? I mean, they really should just be misprioritizations, right, in terms of what the public wants.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And we deliver on that based on and prioritize it. But I wouldn't want to build these individual plans or have consultants working on these plans and come to find out, well, you know, the sports plan is in direct conflict with the, you know, the outdoor plan.
Yeah,
and,
I completely agree. And, you know, I'm ready to put together a natural area acquisition plan that would then guide where we are acquiring this new natural resource area, but based on what priority it comes in, you're gonna increase or decrease the number of acres that you really want to. We're gonna have to put something in general, but when it really comes down the road, that master plan will then guide that natural resource plan and then say we should go.
Ultimately, I think you kind of hit on it there, David, and you to get right to the point, but the way I see it is the district comprehensive master plan should guide our priorities. I should say these are, the community says these are the priorities, and we should work to accomplish those priorities and not allow things to compete against each other when we've identified with those priorities. So that's the goal of the district master plan, is to say, you know, whatever you do, keep these priorities in mind, and also our citizens group is supposed to help us with those, keep us on track with those priorities as we move along as well. So, yeah, really good feedback. This is all good stuff, and it's kind of figuring out how to put this in the right context and how we want it to be. So, unless there are any other questions or comments right now, and again, this is an open-ended question. We'll just kind of hit these last things for the last 3 or 2 minutes or whatever I've got left here. The SDC update schedule. This is the essentially the rest of our project going forward from here. If you look at all of that, essentially it kind of lists out our the different pieces of the process. But we are looking at wanting to wrap this up by the end of April. So that's our. That's what we're targeting right now, and having a plan to adopt at the end of that process. So that's what we're hoping for, which leads into our schedule stuff. And did we list out? Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Okay, can we go back to that other slide just really quickly? So what we're planning to do is have with this group. We would like to have, if you're able to and willing to do this, 4 meetings, including today. So 3 more specific steering committee meetings, and then there's some other public meetings and so forth. And what we'd like to do is have those once a month. We're going to jump over December because it would land in the holiday stuff, and just jump right into January. And so go January, February, March, meet once a month. Basically like this, the consultants would be involved in either 2 or 3 of those meetings. We'd kind of see where they need to be engaged or not. And then leading to that final recommendation and presentation to our board of directors to adopt the plan. So then, jumping ahead, looking at scheduling, what Are we on the third or fourth? What did we? What was it we were looking at?
Oh, the second or third.
Yeah, second or third. Thank you. So we.
We're looking at second or third Wednesday.
Right. And we were, for different meetings that we have or for different scheduling reasons, we had kind of honed in on wanting to do this on either the second or third Wednesday of each month. Except for some reason in February, that's different, right?
John, one of our consultants had a the 21st is not going to work. So that's
so
the only
So this is sort of a polling the group and asking you what works best. So January, we could either do the 10th or the 17th. These aren't exactly what I just said, but February the 14th, and if we couldn't do that one, we'd have to jump over the third Wednesday to the 28th. And then March, we've got 14 or 21, and then April, it looks like we can't do the 18th for some reason. So
we could do the 18th. I just didn't know if we wanted to do that the night before the board meeting.
Oh, I see.
Because it's
so,
doesn't give us
so
a prep time.
April 19th is our district board meeting, and we would hope to be presenting this to them on the 19th. So I guess, yeah, looks like we're encouraging April 11th as the meeting date.
So as we get closer, it may move out. So obviously, we're open to that.
So we're looking for your feedback on
in February on the 14th. Some people may be affected by that.
Yeah, it is Valentine's.
It is 14th. It's Valentine's Day. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I'll be selfish and say, I'll meet. Yeah.
Well, those are the dates. Then.
Yeah, for the most part, I can do the second Wednesday, but not the third. So, let's see.
Is everybody else going?
January, I could not do the 10th, but I can do the 17th.
Okay.
Okay, well, he can do the 10th, but not the 17th. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
That's fine if I miss
something. How about this? I think we set this meeting up based on a doodle.
Yeah, I can poll.
How about if we send these out to you in a doodle poll, and then what we'll do is just go with the meeting dates that work for the most of the committee members on each month. But our goal is definitely to have a meeting in each of the 3 months, January, February, and then actually we only need
April. We don't
want to
do it on the 18th night before.
So why are we doing?
Yeah, we're only doing.
We may not need April.
Yeah.
But
okay.
I just wanted. So if we needed to meet before the board meeting, like to go over the ordinance or anything,
maybe we'll keep that.
Because you're going to be making a recommendation to the board at that 19th meeting, so I have it on there.
So we for sure need to do the three meetings: January, February, March. We need to do a meeting each of those 3 months to keep this on track. I think, yeah, that's a good way to say that is
well,
maybe.
Well, it could be that we hold April just so that we get all final documents, look at them as a group.
Keep that as a tentative, yeah. So we'll make this easier and do the doodle poll.
But we do want to get something on the calendar so you guys can plan.
And we'll do that too. You'll probably get an email pretty quick. And we'll doodle poll you with those specific dates. We'll. And then we'll keep you informed about any other meetings with, you know, we're looking to schedule something with the Milwaukee City Council, and I think Wilda will probably already be there anyway, but, you know, should anybody else want to attend. And again, just as a general reminder, we'll do as much as we can to publicize these meetings or this information on our end, but if you have the ability to send this out to other groups or just interested people that you know of, you can forward the emails for the meetings. You can send them our direction. If you need hard copies for meetings that you're attending that you want to hand out, we'll make those for you and get those to you. So anything we can do to help get the word out, we're looking to put the word out so that the community knows that these are available to purchase.
Is any of this online?
So the plan, so the agenda's online. My plan was to go back and put the items in your meeting packet. There is a spot for me to put it online, and that I was going to put it as a single packet. Okay.
Yeah, and then we could just direct
you. Yeah.
forward it to all the people.
Okay.
Can you set up a little like SDC landing page or something, or
yeah,
or is it easier just to plop it on?
I have it on the public meetings page
right
okay. now.
We'll do that. So let's just make sure we send out where it is to all of these folks. So we'll get that. Okay. I'm done unless you've got anything else. We're pretty close to our 6:30. Thank you all very much.